And to me, it just, you admire Joseph.
Amen.
You really do admire a young man. This was intense. Mm-hmm. You are in a house. It's not like Samson. He didn't have to go down there to Timnah if he didn't have to. But Joseph have no choice. He has to be in there, facing this woman day in and day out. She talked to him day, verse 10, day by day, every day. She just keep bugging him. And she does the same thing. Joseph was very conscious in the way the verses that Chuck have said. He was very conscious of his position in this house. He was very conscious of the presence of the Lord. He was very conscious of that. And one of the things that amazes me about him, he could have said to himself, okay, you know, I'll get a release. Nobody's going to know anything about it anyway. She's not going to tell anybody, that's for sure. And I'm not. And after all, we have a family history of that stuff. I came up from a family where that stuff is just right there. You know, it's what am I going to do? It's the circumstances upon me. Well, my older brother have done it. Reuben, if you read the chapter before, chapter 38, my brother Judah have done it. My sister Dinah have done it. You know, we're just, this is a family thing. I mean, it's in our genes, I guess. You know, might as well just be like everybody else. No. And that's why I really admire that. A man whose everything was against him. The household was not good. Cannot say, well, you know, my father was... Samson could say something like that, but not Joseph. Sure. I mean, Jacob's life, marriage life, was a disaster. His children were a disaster. And here is a shining light in the midst of all of that. This is something that was common in the land of Egypt. That was now, just like our time today, a great civilization. What happened in those great civilizations? Morality go down. And everybody's doing that. So Joseph could say, well, you know, in my family, everybody have done it. In Egypt, I hear the stories from the slaves all the time. You know, after the next morning, you hear all the stories that the slaves were doing. Well, you know, everybody. Don't you hear your college roommate, high school roommate, come in the next day and tell you all of the story what they have done? The text messages, and I'm not going to say what's the other word that they use. People do these things all the time now, and one could say, well, you know, it's just the way it is. I'm not going to be different. And day by day, the intense that was upon this young man, he had everything against him. But you know what? He had God for him. And if God is for us, who could be against us? He was very conscious of that. You see, again, I think you said it the other day, Chuck, Satan is not going to come and knock on your door and say, hey, I'm Satan here. I'm coming here to make you fall in sin. Here's my credential. Look at them. I have a history. So, you know, No. Came in a very subtle way. And she went after him day by day by day by day. And what a... You know, here's a young man I want to see when I get to heaven too. Just like I want to see Samson and ask him a few questions. I want to ask you a few questions. But this is something for us, young people, to really realize who we are. And to realize that we be conscious of the presence of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what circumstances or what background we came from. It doesn't really matter, good or bad or indifferent. We need to stand for the Lord.
There's a wonderful set of scripture in 1 Peter that illustrates exactly what Chuck and Emil have just been saying. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 13-17. Let me just read it. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed and falsely accuse you of your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
I just want to touch on a point that Brother Tony brought up about cutting off those evil devices. in James 4, we're told to resist the devil, to stand pat and resist, and he will flee from us. In the second book of Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 22, we're told to flee youthful lusts. So the devil, our adversary, we're told to stand pat and he will flee from us. Youthful lusts, we're called to do what Joseph did. Turn around and run. Turn around and flee. And you might think, a lot of people think when we read that verse, flee also youthful lust, a lot of the time the connotation is maybe sexual immorality or anything of that nature, but it's not limited to just that. Lust is a word for desire. Any unrighteous or unholy desire that is contrary to the will of God, we're told to flee those things, not to nibble around or experiment, to flee, to turn around and to flee.